Back this evening, you encouraged me by your presence. I think you encourage others as well. Don't forget that there is a super nacho bar following. Super nacho. We're not talking about any old nacho bar, people. We're talking about a super nacho bar. Or so I'm told anyway. I'm going to take people at their word, so it better be super. Anyway, appreciate that very much that you listened this morning. Remember what we're doing on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. They're going to be connected hopefully this entire year. If this doesn't work, then we might do something different. But it seems to be working fairly well for me, and I've heard several positive comments from you so far this year as well. What we do beginning on Sunday evening is review a bit of what we did on Sunday night, or Sunday morning rather. This morning, we first reviewed our theme a bit. Remember, of course, that our theme for 2016 is Take the Next. Our theme for 2016 is Take the Next. Good. I've not been working quite as much with you this year as I have previous years, but I get carried away up there and don't give you much chance to say it either. But that's the theme for this year, and we've said that it's a journey that we're going from the start to the goal, that we're in the middle. But the first thing that we said is that so often on this journey that we're on, we feel a lot of pressure to take the next step. Do you find that true for you? I didn't ask this morning, but do you feel pressure sometimes from people? You feel pressure from your parents, feel pressure from your wife or your husband? Feel pressure from the preacher, feel pressure from the elders or the deacons or whomever it may be. I know that I in the past have probably laid it on pretty thick, pressuring you to do certain things. And in some ways, that was inappropriate. Of course, I hope you know my heart whenever I have done that in the past, that it's for your best interest and for the best interest of the kingdom here in this body. But we do feel that pressure, don't we? We feel it from everyone. We might even feel it from God, but we realize despite all of that pressure, pressure to do what's right or pressure to do what's wrong, we are the ones that are responsible for our actions. Remember, the soul that sins, it shall die, right? The Father will not bear the iniquity of the Son or the Son of the Father, all right? So we are responsible. And then we talked about God having perfect boundaries. That even though it might feel as though that we're being pressured by God, He does not pressure us. He doesn't force us to do certain things. Somebody asked me this afternoon about times in the Old Testament where it seems as though He may have pressured certain individuals, and that might be the case, that He pressured Moses a little bit. I wouldn't say pressure. I would say He encouraged him to do what he knew he needed to do. He just shook a little sense into him. But if you want to consider that pressure, that might be okay, but He certainly doesn't do that now in that way. We don't have revelations like they did in the Old Testament. He doesn't talk to us through bushes or help us prepare whales or big fish to swallow us like He did with Jonah or any of these other things. So now, let's just think about now, that now He doesn't do any of those things at all. He doesn't pressure us. And finally, we mentioned just a few reasons to take the next step, all right? Just a few of those reasons that we're going to discuss this year. In fact, we read 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5, or it was on your sermon guide, sermon follow along, that our charge is love that issues from a pure heart, right? So it's not out of guilt and it's not out of shame that we're heading toward the goal. Please don't ever let me guilt you or pressure you in order to do certain things that'll help you reach the goal, certain things that'll help you reach spiritual maturity or help souls to be saved or help this church to grow or help you get to heaven. I don't want to pressure you to do those things. I don't want to coerce you to do those things. It ought to be for a child of God, the fact that God has loved us so much and that we want to return a portion of that love to Him, that we feel indebted to Him is the reason that we're heading toward that goal. Or did any of you have any thoughts about that this morning? If you have any, very succinct, and I'll take them. Okay, that's all right. I know you're not accustomed to that yet, and I'm not giving you a lot of room for that. But if you do, then you can certainly get with me and share those things. So tonight, we're moving on from that, starting some different material, and I said that even though there are some good motivations for us to follow God, we're going to talk about some of those this evening, there are also some that aren't quite as good. Stuff like, we might say, earthly fame, bodily health, material wealth, easy life in this life, a life of ease here on earth, protection from physical harm. Now, these motivations are sometimes present and sometimes not. And although they can be good in some ways, I think, if we really will be honest with ourselves and honest with the Word, they can be good in some sense, they're certainly not the best. And that's what I'm trying to illustrate for you this evening. When we look at some of these things, like earthly life, bodily health, material fame, material wealth, easy life in this life, protection from physical harm, it seems to me that we see some of these things in the Bible are generally true for whenever you follow the Word of God, are they not? Look in the book of Proverbs, and we'll just read through a few of those in some time that we have this evening. Proverbs, beginning in chapter 1, it says, "Let the wise hear," in verse 5, "let the wise hear and increase in learning." So, the Proverbs encourage us to increase our learning. That's a good thing, isn't it? You know, the person who is more learned has more skill sets, has more opportunities to use those skill sets. Look down in verse 15. "My son, do not walk in the way with them." That's talking about those who are enticing you to sin, and we see that elsewhere. "Do not walk, do not be in the way or walk in the way with them." So we might say the Proverbs are encouraging us to be wary of sin and sinners for that matter. Keep on going in chapter 2, verse 9. "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits to your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." So again, give to the Lord. And there's going to be benefits in these things. Keep reading the very next verse. "Do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof." The wise man accepts the discipline of the Lord or from the Lord and also from others. And when we do all these things, if you'll read in the book of Proverbs, and if you'll just look at people who have done these things in their life, often they're more successful, aren't they? They're more rounded individuals, aren't they? They're people who run successful businesses. Now, if I'm someone who runs a business and I want my business to be more successful, what's one thing that I'm going to do? I'm going to read. I'm going to study. I'm going to ask individuals who have run a successful business how they've done it. I'm going to grow in those areas. So the book of Proverbs encourages this, and if I do that, then I'm going to have a more successful business most of the time. We could keep on going. I marked until about chapter 8 or 9 or 10, just a few things that I saw. Drink water, chapter 5 and verse 15. "Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well." Now, this is, of course, talking about sexual fidelity. Only give your body and sexual relations to your wife or to your husband, depending on the case. Wait until you're married so we see that we're faithful to our spouse. There's going to be blessings there. You can go on. Chapter 6 and verse 12. "A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech." So he tells us to guard our tongue. So on my point in all of this, and I hope you're not missing the forest for the trees, my point in all of this is that if we read the book of Proverbs and we'll apply some of the things in the book of Proverbs, we're going to be more rounded individuals, aren't we? I think Sam encouraged us to think about that on Wednesday night, and I really appreciate him saying that, that we see these things. If we obey the Proverbs, we'll be successful in business more often, we'll be sought after for knowledge, we'll be respected by so many more people because we're trustworthy, we have honest scales, and we could keep reading there some of these same things. It says to be industrious, it says to be disciplined, to be faithful to your spouse, be controlled in speech, be honest, be diligent to grow and gain knowledge and skill. This is all from the book of Proverbs. Be wary of sin, be slow to anger, be sober, be thankful, and we could keep on talking there, couldn't we? So many good things that are good for us. However, the same individual who is successful in business, who is sought after for knowledge, who is respected by all, might be arrested or killed for his faith. Mighty. This same individual might be struck by a stray bullet even on accident. Those things happen, don't they? People who love God, people who want to serve God, people who are well-learned, people who study the Word, people who are honest, people who don't cheat others, people who do all of these wonderful things, they could be robbed of all of their money. So what do we do with these prosperity passages? Malachi 3 and verse 10, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." Or Luke 6 and verse 38, "Give and it will be given to you." So if we give, then we know the Lord will give to us. So we want to reach the goal of spiritual maturity, of blessings from God, so we're going to give in order to make God give us those things, right? Or we could keep on going. What about 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 8? Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. God is able to make all grace abound to you, verse 8 in 2 Corinthians 9, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So if we look at these passages, we could go into more depth with it. We don't have time this evening, and I'm hoping maybe to let you out just a few minutes early for the super nacho bar. However, if we think about these things, we realize not all of these things are always physical blessings, are they? And the book of Malachi was talking about a bit of a different circumstance, individuals who were completely neglecting God. But I still believe, and I think that Sam is right, and I think that those of you who've said in the past that God is going to bless those who are blessings to others, he's going to bless those in a certain way. And sometimes that means financially, sometimes that means in your business, sometimes that means with health. But these are things that we can't count on. The first point that I want to make this evening on the first slide is that these motivations aren't always reliable. All right? So if you're taking notes on your sermon guide, there's only 3 points this evening. I tried to keep it a bit more simple because I was having trouble focusing my mind exactly where I wanted to go, and also to keep it more simple for you at the same time. The first reason is that these motivations, the reason they're not as good as the ones we mentioned this morning, is because they aren't always reliable. So sometimes I give to God my money, my time, my energy, and I pray to God for health, for blessings, for prosperity, but I don't always get those things. And we know this is the case, and we'll see it here in just a second, but the other ones I mentioned through the year that we're going to be talking about, they will always be there. So no matter what your situation is, no matter if you're hurting, no matter if you're struggling, no matter if you're happy, no matter if things are going well for you or things are going poorly for you, we could talk a little bit about the wedding vows that we make in sickness and in health and good times and bad and so on and so forth. We can be joyful in all those things, can't we? So this is the thing. These that we're mentioning this evening that are not the best are not always reliable. Sometimes we will get material blessings and sometimes we will not. Because we realize, of course, that there are people in very poor parts of the world that aren't blessed with some of these material things. But often it is the case, if we are hard workers, if we are industrious, what's going to happen? People will want to hire us. People will want us to work for them. That we will get blessed, but sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes our health fails us for no fault of our own. We even mentioned it this morning in John chapter 9, didn't we? In John chapter 9, Jesus is walking by and his disciples say, "Who sinned that this man was born blind, him or his parents?" And he said, "No one sinned." What makes you think someone sinned that this man was born blind? It just happened, and now because he's blind and we're walking next to him, I can show you the power of God. I can show you the glory of God. We can glorify him because of this man, you see? So it's not always because of failures on our part that we're not wealthy. It's not always failures on our part that we're not healthy, and we know that because of individuals like Jesus. We know that because of individuals like Job. And we've already mentioned Job in the past 2 or 3 weeks. Job was righteous but had his wealth and health taken away. Jesus was righteous, yet he didn't have a home. He didn't have a place that was his own to be buried in. He was hung on a cross. You see? So if it's only the most righteous individuals, then Job shouldn't have had anything happen to him. Jesus shouldn't have had anything to happen to him. But often we see it's the very opposite, that when we are faithful to him, that the very opposite things happen, that we are persecuted. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer. There you go. There you go. So when we're faithful to him, sometimes it's the opposite case. Now, again, I want you to realize that the Proverbs solicit us and encourage us and tell the child of God that this is the way you live. That you have honest weights and honest measures. That you go to the ant, you sluggard. Don't be lazy. That you keep your marriage bed for you and your spouse. That you obey him, that you do all of these things. And when you do those things, you're going to be blessed in so many ways. Sometimes, and often it is the case on this earth, but always after this life is over, won't it? Won't it be the case? Do we have that hope? That's the goal, church. No matter what we think we're aiming for heaven. You see? The streets paved with gold. The pearly gates. The place where there'll be no tears. And if there happens to be a tear, God will wipe it away. He'll be our constant companion. You see? That's where we're heading for. The reason that this motivation isn't the best, these motivations, health, wealth, fame, prosperity, all of these other things, is because they aren't reliable. Many people have been rich through history in the Bible. We can talk about Abram, Isaac, King Solomon. We can talk about Joseph of Arimathea. A rich person can be saved, but that is not our goal, you see. In fact, if we want to think about it, the reason that this is a problem is because it seems backwards, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem a bit backwards to you? We take the next step because we want God's, because of God's love. Now, we're talking in this this Sunday, and we're talking in future Sundays as well, about individual motivations. This is more of an introduction to the idea that there is motivation behind it. We're taking the next step. We're moving forward. We're heading toward the goal. We're on this journey because of these things, right? This is the motivation, all right? Money and wealth would be, instead of the motivation often, it would be the goal. I'm going to obey God because I want to be wealthy. I'm going to obey God because I want to be healthy, some individuals say. So this is backwards. This really isn't the best motivation, because that comes after those things on occasion. And sometimes it does not. As we already said, it's not reliable. Wanting to please the Father is the impetus, is the motivation for heading toward the goal. Current and continued joy is the reason we head toward the goal. God has given me joy. Jesus says, make my joy complete, right? So because of the joy that God has given us, because of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we head toward the goal. You see? That's the motivation. Because He's given us so much, and because we are rejoicing in those things, right? This is the day the Lord has made. I will what? Rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to use this day for His glory because He's given me joy. What do we say sometimes, and we see in the Scriptures, we can sing, the joy of the Lord will be my strength, right? What's going to be your strength? What's going to provoke you toward this goal? The joy of the Lord, you see. That's what you have that's going to help you go that way. This is the motivation, and we're going to talk more about that through the year. Wanting to please the Father, as we mentioned this morning. For these to be motivations, either one must already possess these things, or one must be taking the next step in order and hope of getting these things, you see? Number three, and finally this evening, and we might spend a few more minutes on it than we have on the others, and I may actually, for one of the first times, let you out early this evening. Number three, we see that taking the next step to get these things often is selfish. It's selfish. The fact of the matter is that if we don't ever get anything from God, if we live this life for Jesus and we die poor, broke, broken, I mean our body broken, that we're sick all the time, that nobody even knows our name, that is okay, isn't it? If nobody knows who we are, if we have no money, no influence, it's still okay because God has given us so much. I think sometimes people, are you listening to me, beloved friends, church, neighbors, you know, peeps, are you listening to me? I think sometimes we get a little greedy. But we don't get greedy for the high things, the best things. C.S. Lewis said that the problem isn't that we can't be pleased. We're pleased we can't be pleased by the things that God gives us. We're trying to find satisfaction in these lower things. You're never going to find satisfaction in drugs or sex. You're never going to find satisfaction just in work. The reason that a Christian can find satisfaction in work is because it says in Colossians 3 and verse 23 that whatsoever you find to do with your hands, do it with all your might, right? That's why we can find satisfaction in our work. Others can't, because we look over and we spent a whole quarter just a few semesters or a few quarters ago, spent a whole quarter looking at Ecclesiastes. You know what the man tried? He said, I'm going to build up all my wealth. And he said that wasn't enough. He said, I'm going to have all of these wives and sleep with all of these women. This man said that. And you know what? He said that wasn't enough. He said, I'm going to try all these building projects. I'm going to throw myself into my work. That's not enough. He said, I'm going to throw myself into worship. I'm going to just worship and spend all my time in the house of God. You know, worship isn't enough. Worship can be your God. God has to be your God, and you give him worship. You see? All of these things aren't going to satisfy. We're greedy, but we're greedy for the wrong things. Money, health, and all of these things that we talked about, fame, they're of this world. Listen to 1 John 2:15 and following. Do not love the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride and possession is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Read with me for just one moment, since it's on the same subject, 3 John verse 2. 3 John is one of those chapters that has just one of those books that has just one chapter. And there John writes, Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. So the question is, even though these things sometimes are worldly, even though these things aren't sometimes the most important, can we pray for someone's health? Of course we can. Of course we can. That's what it says here in 3 John in verse 2. But we've got to pray with the right motivation, you see? He said that it's okay for us to pray for physical things, family, business, personal health. We might pray that God bless those things. Because he's following the same kind of example that we see in the Psalms. Listen to Psalm 144, verses 12 and following. May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. May our granaries be full, providing all kinds of produce. May our sheep bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our field. May our cattle be heavy with young, suffering no mishap or failure in bearing. May there be no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whom God is the Lord. It's the same thing we pray for ourselves if we follow the model in the Lord's Prayer or the Lord's model prayer. Give us this day our daily, that's right, that's food. You see? It's okay to pray for physical things, but we pray for it with the proper motivation. All right, don't lose sight of what we're doing here, all right? Here's the start. Here's the goal. We want to get there. How do we get there? What is the motion that moves us forward? What's the impetus? What's the motivation that we're talking about? We want the good motivations. We want the love of God. We want the joy that he gives us. We want the peace that passes understanding. We want heaven and all of eternity with him. That's the motivation. I want to please the Father, you see? That's why I'm going that way, not ever. And we mentioned it this morning, and it bears repeating, it's not ever, church, friends, guests, it's not ever out of shame or guilt. You don't serve God out of guilt. You don't do what the preacher says out of guilt. You don't do what the elders say out of guilt. If you're doing it for that reason, then change your motivation. Repent of that. Say, I want to do it because I owe the Lord so much. You see? And he's going to bless us. You desire, you do not have, so you murder, you covet, and you cannot obtain. You ask, and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions, James 4 and verse 3. You see? So what we're getting at this evening, and I'm wrapping it up now, listen to me. The point is that there are motivations. There is a reason for us to go toward that goal. I press on toward the goal. I'm taking the next step, right? Taking a tiny step, you see. There is a reason for us to do so, but it's not for all these physical blessings. That sometimes is a byproduct, but sometimes it's not. Bow and pray with me. Father God, you who have given us physical blessings, yes, we're aware of that and we're thankful for it, but Father, you who give us spiritual blessings, you who sustain us through Jesus Christ, who gives us the light of the world, who gives us the Holy Spirit that will help us to not condemn ourselves, We know, Father, that Jesus stands before you, being our advocate, being our stand-in, because he paid the price for us, and the Holy Spirit resides in us to tell us that the devil is wrong, that we have been forgiven, and we can trust in your love, and we can hope in you. And Father, we pray we'll listen. And Father, we pray that we'll have the right motivations, and this year we'll work toward giving ourselves and making sure that in our hearts and in our minds reside the motivations to get us to the goal, and nothing selfish, nothing backwards, nothing that's going to cause us to stumble from worldly things. Father, we pray this, and we pray that you'll bless us, that we bring people to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe it's the case, listen, maybe it's the case that you've not had the proper motivations and you want to change that. You don't have to do it in a public way, but please resolve and think about in your heart now. And if you want to do it publicly, we'll definitely welcome you and encourage you to do that. But make the change in your heart and say, I'm not doing this out of guilt. I'm not doing this to earn anything. I'm doing this because God has done so much for me, and I can never pay him back. If you have a need, we can help you in any public way. Let us know now as together we stand and as we sing.